Today's reading is from Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 12. It's in your Bibles, page 1061. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered these words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Thank you, Sam. I think some of our candidates are back with us, dry and dressed. Maybe not all of them, they may take a little while. Some might be hair drying their hair and make themselves look good. I didn't do that. Often on the big occasions at St. Nick's, Christmas, Easter, the big services, we have, the preacher has, a big visual aid in their talk, a big present to unwrap. That's often at Christmas. I remember one Easter, I spent £100 on a giant Easter egg for my Easter talk, which we smashed with a hammer, great mallet, to see what was inside it. We often have a big illustration. Well, today, this Easter day, I have a very big visual aid and a very small one. And the very big one is at the back of church, and the very small one is here at the front with me. The big one, you've already seen. The baptism pool, 6 candidates baptized and 2 reaffirming their baptism vows. And we've heard the testimonies from the candidates and some Bible verses. And one of the Bible verses was this one on the screen behind me. This was Poppy's verse. In fact, we were buried with Christ by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is a visual aid. It's a brilliant one. I'd like to say I wish I'd come up with it, but I think that might be, that's a bit, not quite the right thing to say, is it? It's a great visual aid, a sign of resurrection, resurrection life. And this is especially obvious, of course, with full immersion baptism, when the person being baptized is buried, down they go, and then they rise to new life. The visual aid is, of course, less obvious when we baptize babies and young children at the front with just a little font on the whole "parents don't take kindly to us taking their precious little one and then dunking them underwater." These little, you know, babies, they cry enough when we just splash them a bit, so we tend not to dunk them right under. But full immersion baptism is a great visual aid of the full meaning of baptism. It's a reminder of Jesus' resurrection. I prayed at the pool, or one of the phrases we prayed at the pool was, "We thank you that through the deep waters of death, You brought your son and raised him to life in triumph. But it's not baptism just a reminder of Jesus' resurrection. It's a symbol of the risen life that we too have in Jesus as Christians. At the beginning of the service, we began with the traditional Easter greeting. Joyce said, "Christ is risen," and you said, "Hallelujah." You're good Anglicans. Well, I don't think the Anglican Church can just take credit for that. That's around the world. But Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. But Jesus' resurrection was not just good news for him, good news for Jesus. It is good news for us. His risen life is our risen life. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power at work in those of us who decide to follow Jesus. So that's my big visual aid, baptism. We've done it. We've seen it. Later on in the service, during communion, as I said, if you're a Christian, you may like to at some point just go to the pool and dip your finger in, a reminder of the new life that is yours in Jesus. So that's my big visual aid. Here's my very small one. It's a very small packet. It's a seed packet. And inside it is one little seed. This is a terrible illustration for a big talk, you know. Anyone guess what kind of seed it is? Shout out. Sunflower, that would be the, you know, I nearly got a sunflower seed. I couldn't find, this is a courgette seed. Courgette seed. Inside this courgette seed is life. Seeds are mini miracles, the life of a courgette plant. And if we keep on more and more seeds, many, many courgette plants. But in order to produce life, this seed needs first to be buried. And this is a much smaller visual aid, a different symbol, but making the same point. Jesus once said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And he wasn't talking about courgettes. He was talking about himself, about his death and the life he came to bring. Jesus Christ came to bring, to give us life, life now, lived in relationship with God, to know God now and forever, eternal life when we die. But in order for Jesus to bring this life, he had to die. Just like a seed. He died on a cross. He was buried in the ground in a tomb. He died to take away our sin, to bring us to God so that we might be truly alive. On Good Friday, he died. On Easter Sunday, he rose again, a seed sprouting from the ground, bringing new life, not just for him, but for all of us who decide to follow him. Earlier in the baptisms, those being baptized and renewing their baptism vows made a decision, a big decision, a public decision. I asked them, do you reject the devil? Do you renounce evil? Do you repent of sins? And do you turn to Christ as Savior, Lord, the way, the truth, and the life? Big decision. Bold decision, a risky decision, a costly decision, a life of self-denial and self-sacrifice. This is what Jesus was talking about when he spoke about a seed needing to die and to be buried. He wasn't only talking about himself, he was talking about us and the choices we face. And the decisions we make. My life, your life, is like this little seed. You and I can hold on to it. It's very beautiful. I love courgette seeds. We can keep it, admire it, make it as comfortable as possible. We can feel we don't want to risk it. Better to keep it safe. But Jesus says, if you do that, you'll lose it. You'll never discover the life that is intended for you. If you hold on to life tightly, you will in fact destroy it. But if we let it go, if we, in choosing to follow Jesus, lay it down and hand it over in sacrifice and service, if we make the radical decision to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, if we do that, then we will know true life. We will be buried with Christ in baptism, under the water, into the ground, and as Christ was raised, so we too will know new life, true life, now, and eternal life to come. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that through the deep waters of death, you brought your Son and raised him to life in triumph. We thank you for those who have decided today to follow him, buried with him in baptism, raised to new life in Christ. We pray for each and every one of us, that we would learn to follow in his footsteps and so to know the power of his risen life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.